As dog owners, we probably do more walking than the average person, and yet most of us probably miss how much waste is being thrown away on our regular routes because we're just not focused on it. I recently joined a group on Facebook called Paws on Plastic, where the members pledged to pick up at least 2 pieces of waste every time they walk, which is such a great idea. Today, however, I'm going to be talking to somebody who's taken it a big step further. She regularly does beach cleans with her gorgeous spaniel Woody and blogs about it to raise awareness, but also she has a section of her blog which is entirely dedicated to what she calls sustainable living, full of top tips on how to be an eco-friendly dog owner. Without further ado, I'd really love to introduce you to Hattie from the Cornish Dog Blog. So, big welcome to Hattie, and thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're going to have a little question and answer about your whole experience with being plastic-free and waste-free and sort of how you came about it. So is there a turning point for you where you became kind of this plastic-free ambassador?
I've always grown up in a family where reusable water bottles and things like that were a thing. So I've always kind of grown up around if you're not going to use it, don't buy it kind of thing. Like excessive consumerism wasn't promoted to me by my parents. So
that's amazing.
For me, it's kind of normal. And it's more since the movement of low waste and plastic free and environmental issues have become more mainstream. I'm just kind of like, oh, well, I've been doing this for years. Like, I can help.
It's like you were cool before it was cool.
Yeah, let's go with that. But yeah, and like I really enjoyed learning about sustainability in school and geography and stuff. It was like my favorite topic. So, and it always intrigues me, but I can get myself into a bit of a rabbit hole when I research and read about it, and then it gets worrying. But
yeah, I think it's amazing though that you're learning about, you or people are learning about this at school, because that wasn't a thing when I was growing up. But then again, I don't think I'm a lot older than you. I don't think one used plastic was such a big thing sort of in the 80s. I think it's only been in the last maybe 10-15 years that it's just exploded.
Yeah, I mean, at school we definitely didn't go into half as much detail as is available now, but I always remember learning about like wind farms and solar power and stuff, and I always used to think it was really cool.
Yeah, and so did your parents, like, where do you know where your parents' sort of love of reusing the same thing over and over again came from, or has it just always been a thing?
I think it's a mixture of frugality and just the way of life for our family. Like they'll reuse as much as possible. Like if you get a takeaway from a Chinese, they'll reuse those boxes until they like shatter, and that's obviously not strong plastic, but high school lunches were served in those.
I love that though. I think that's so awesome that this is like, it's obviously imparted onto you without being forceful. It's like just a thing that was just there all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's why I started creating blog posts and content around it for dog owners, because I realized that that was an area that I couldn't find the same sort of support and information. So that's
your blogs are amazing, which leads me quite quickly to actually, so you do your blog, you do beach cleans with Woody, don't you?
Yes, and Hen.
and Hen now, yes, who looks absolutely adorable, recently adopted.
Yes, I had him about a month.
When did you first decide to do your beach cleans with your dogs?
I think properly last year, sort of after about like 6 months of owning Woody, because I kind of got used to how he was at the beach, and he's quite independent. So when he runs off, I'm kind of just standing there in the sand and I figured, well, might as well do something. So I started picking up plastic and sea glass.
Oh, wow. So you basically, your dog inadvertently inspired you to do beach cleans.
Yeah. But it's quite a popular thing down here in Cornwall anyway. We've got like Surfers Against Sewage and a load of other organisations. So it's a good way to meet new people as well. So I quite often go to some of those.
Oh, that's a good point, actually. I hadn't thought about the fact that actually you get to meet like-minded people if you do a group one. That's a really nice thought.
It definitely is. I've met a really good friend who runs One Bag Beach Cleaning, which is like a little organization near Falmouth, and we now go on walks all the time and like pick up litter as if it's a completely normal thing to do on like a Saturday morning.
Well, hopefully it will be for most people after they've listened to this.
Yes.
I have to admit I have joined a group where it is one of those things where it's for specifically for dog walkers on Facebook, and I cannot remember the name of it,
but Paws on Plastic.
That's the one. Yes.
Yeah.
And it does make you more aware, and they do say, you know, you only have to pick up three, but you can't stop at three. It becomes almost compulsive.
No, and sometimes it's heartbreaking, like especially if I go out on a walk after a storm, so all of the plastic has been washed up. Yeah. And you can't physically carry any of it, and you just have to leave it, and it's really sad. But yeah. I always try and pick up what I can.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to just start taking a some sort of bag out that is my rubbish bag, basically, that I can tip everything out of and reuse it. And because when I did my first Paws on Plastic walk, it was way more than three things. And like you said, some of them are a bit, because I used a poo bag that I could reuse.
Okay.
But some of them were bigger than I could put in the poo bag.
Yeah.
So I found on that walk, I found some really bizarre things, like you know, those plastic toothpicks with the wire in them.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Seriously, you're cleaning your teeth on a walk? I don't understand. Bizarre thing. Have you found anything really surprising on one of your beach cleans?
I've found some pretty gross things. I don't know if you want to know.
Oh no, go on.
Various tampon applicators.
Oh, that's like disgusting.
The classic like milk bottles and meat dish, like plastic meat dishes from the supermarket. Yeah. I once found like a square of carpet just randomly on Perranporth Beach.
It's really terrifying, because you've got a lot of people who, you know, who have dogs that just pick up stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You know, dogs who just like testing things with their mouth, and you just don't know what they're going to pick up. I mean, seriously, some of those things,
yeah,
you not want your dog touching.
Yeah, we also found a tractor wheel on one beach, but we obviously couldn't pick that one up, but we had to like tell the council that there was a big tractor wheel in the middle of the beach, like buried.
How bizarre. I've now got this vision of a tractor trying to go down the road with one wheel.
Yeah, I don't know how it got that.
Now, I know you've done a blog post about like the fact that a lot of poo bags are kind of, what's the word that I'm looking for? They're misinforming people when they say that it's biodegradable, because they don't have to put on how long it takes to biodegrade, and they've still got a lot of plastic in them.
Yeah.
Now, I am going to be, I'm going to try, I'm setting myself up to do some composting with cornstarch poo bags. Now, you've got a lot of information about this that I might not have. Is it something that you've tried or you want to try?
Composting poo bags.
The cornstarch ones, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've got some cornstarch ones, actually. It's hard, because although they compost, you've also got to take into account how your local authority processes waste.
Mm-hmm.
So in Cornwall, for example, we don't have a landfill. All of our non-recyclables are incinerated.
Yeah.
So even if I use a cornstarch bag or a plastic bag, it's going to get burnt anyway, so it won't have the opportunity to compost unless I do it at home, which is something that I only learned because I've got a friend who works in waste management for the council. But it's interesting to think about, because although there are loads of options for like compostables, biodegradables and things like that, you've actually got to think about whether the waste that you produce is ending up in the anaerobic digesters or the industrial systems, and whether they're made or developed enough to actually process the waste.
Mm. Yeah, no, and that is really interesting when people think that they're doing something good, but actually, you know, it could be worse.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's not so much worse, but it's more, it doesn't have the effect you're wanting, being promoted. So it's, yeah, in a way it's greenwashing, because the technology hasn't become mainstream yet, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I was speaking to Charlotte from Lamina Animals on the previous episode, and that's one thing that I'd never actually heard of, was greenwashing. I was like, well, what is that? And then it got me so annoyed, so cross, because people are really trying to do their best with these things, like the biodegradable poo bags. They feel good about buying them, and then you find out that actually it might not be as good as you first thought. So what I'm going to try and do is actually, after speaking to Ben from Adios Plastics, is do my own composting. So I'm going to do a little bit of research and maybe trying to do a wormery as well. So
we used to have one of those as a kid.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like going back to school. I didn't realise that actually, it sounds gross, but if you do compost your own dog poop, it actually makes really good stuff for flowers and shrubs and things like that, not for food waste, just in case any of my or if I'm growing food, just in case any of my friends are listening, I'm not going to be putting it on my tomatoes. But yeah, I didn't realize that it was so rich in nutrients that flowers and other garden things will really, really love it. So I'm going to be giving that a try. So I'll let you know how I get on.
Yeah, another thing you can do, which is what my parents did for our dogs when I was a child, was they designated a set area in the garden, which was like behind our shed.
Yeah.
And put loads of bark chipping on the ground, and that was where they pooed. So then you don't need to use a bag at all. And like when I posted that blog post about the plastic poo bags, I did actually get quite a few people saying like, well, when I was like 20 years ago, this wasn't a thing, or like 30 years ago, this wasn't a thing. You just let them pooed in the house, in the garden, not in the house. And then like, because obviously most dogs poo at the beginning of their walk anyway, well, mine do.
Yeah.
So you kind of know once they've pooed, they're done. So you'd let them poo in the designated area in your garden and then just go about your day, and you wouldn't need poo bags, or you'd need far less poo bags.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. And I know my friend Caroline, who owns the Whippet company, she just pooper scoops it into one area because she has multiple dogs, so it's quite difficult to train them all to go in one area. I think, yeah, for me, it's when I'm out on a walk and I have to pick it up. And I'm thinking maybe I could just take, because I've got one of those dicky bags, so rather than having to like carry it round, sticking it in there, and then when I bring it home, it can be stuck in a composter or a wormery. And I'm quite excited about it because I'm quite geeky about how things work, so I'm looking forward to seeing how long it takes and how long it takes to break down and how beautiful my flowers are afterwards.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that, so you must share it with me when you
I will now. It's become quite like on trend, this whole plastic free thing, as I said recently. Do you think the messages that you are sending are getting across? Are you getting feedback from other dog owners?
Yeah, I think so. I ask my followers quite regularly, like what sort of topics they want me to cover and what they're enjoying and what they're not, because I want the Cornish dog to be more of a collaborative space rather than like, this is what you're getting, read it or don't. And people always want to hear more about sustainability, whether that's like shopping secondhand or about plastic, or I want to do one about fast fashion in the dog industry. That's on my list of things to write.
I saw you'd done a blog post about reusing or secondhand dog like coats and stuff like that, didn't you? I guess it's the same with human materials, where it's like you said, the fast fashion industry. It can be the same with dogs. I'm looking forward to that one. I'll definitely share it.
Thank you. Yeah, like I'm just basically taking all the topics that are being discussed in the human world and applying them to dogs, because I do think they apply, and it's quite easy to make changes, but also to just be aware that your dog does have an impact as well, and you as an owner do too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's little things like, I've changed, because I feed raw, I've changed my complete raw food from one supplier to the other because I couldn't recycle the containers of the previous one. So it's pretty much the same sort of food and nutriments that go into it. But it just means that with having five dogs, at least I can recycle all this other stuff, which wasn't able to be recycled before. So yeah, you're right, it does, having a dog does impact the environment as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, if you could tell the listeners, if you have three top tips for being an eco-friendly dog owner, what would they be?
Shopping secondhand if you can,
Mm-hmm. Are there places that do that, or do you just go on eBay and stuff?
I mostly go on Facebook Marketplace or eBay, but some charity shops will have like a really small pet section. And even things like towels and bedding, you can get secondhand from a normal human charity shop. So
I think there might be a gap in the market for a secondhand dog shop.
Yes.
No, well, not secondhand dog, but secondhand dog products. I think that's a great idea, actually.
Yeah, no, definitely. So yeah, shopping secondhand, reusing as much as possible. So if that's, you've got a parcel from, like you've just been delivered a parcel in cardboard, maybe using that to create a kind of enriching activity for your dog for a meal time before you recycle it or Amazing. Before you dispose of it. Also like reusing old bedding that isn't good for humans, but for dogs and things like that, like being creative with how you reuse products. And then I think the third one is looking at supporting local businesses. So whether that's independent pet shops, like makers and things like that. So for example, we use fish skin treats that are landed in Newlyn, which is like in Cornwall, like on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So I know that that's a byproduct of the fishing industry. So those fish skins are useless, except for our pet shop who buy them, dry them and sell them. So
that's kind of amazing. Like
closing a loop.
Which pet shop's that?
Natural Cornish Pet in St. Earth, which is near Hale.
Oh, I might have to pop in there next time I'm down. That sounds amazing.
I'll take you there. It's really cool.
Yeah. Okay. Deal. Right. Okay. So I think we've got so much information there about how to be an eco-friendly dog owner. And I really hope that people will maybe get on board with this, trying to pick up as they are walking their dogs and sort of come together and maybe do group ones and things like that. I know I'm going to try and get a group one together locally. So I'm going to move on to the quick fire round, which is usually quite fun and often not very quick because we always end up talking about stuff. So first one is countryside or coastline.
Oh, that's impossible. Oh, I don't know.
Now, I know you go stand up paddle boarding with your pooches, don't you?
Yeah.
So do you think that might tip it over the edge?
Oh, I don't know. I love walking in woods and forests as well. Can I maybe have like a house on the coast, but like with in the rural coastline?
Yeah, okay. I'll let you have that one. You are a morning person or a night person?
I'm a neither person because I've got ME, which is also known as chronic fatigue syndrome. So I like to think I'm just a permanently exhausted pigeon. Oh.
Now, I have a few friends who have got ME, so I know how difficult that can be. So that must be really frustrating to just not have like the energy either morning or night, because I'm definitely a morning person. But yeah. Ooh,
I mean, it's kind of like the driving force behind why I started the Cornish Dog and why I became self-employed, because I had so many issues with like traditional employment and people not understanding it. So it also enables me to work when I want to work and pace myself better. So it's definitely a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I'm always fascinated when people change their careers based on basically their love of their dogs. I think that's absolutely fantastic. And you're right, it does mean, because it's nothing like what you have, but I really struggle in winter and I have zero motivation. But being able to work for yourself means that you can kind of just pace yourself, and also it means that you are driven a that little bit more because it's your income for you. It's not you're not working for somebody else.
Yeah. And it's definitely more of a game as well. Like I find that my work life is a lot more sort of like a puzzle. Whereas when I was an employee, it was more being told what to do, which I didn't like.
Yeah. Who does? Now, I don't know if this one's going to be hard for you. Can you describe Cornwall in one word?
Incredible.
Yay. I have to admit, I think I've been down to Cornwall three times this year already, and I've got friends down there, and it is just the most beautiful place. And now this one's going to put you on the spot. You're either going to falter or you're going to know straight away. Jam or cream first?
Jam.
Oh, that was lucky.
There was a thing recently, I can't remember which account it was, but a Cornish account on Instagram posted cream first, and literally everyone was just like,
oh no,
you got it wrong.
Oh no, that must have been like, let's just close down this account.
That... Yeah, I think it was like quite a famous hotel as well, so everyone was like, guys,
get your PR and marketing sorted. Yeah. No, there was, I saw a really funny little clip that went around recently where it was saying sort of Devonians, there's only one cream that goes on the bottom, and it was a well-known nappy rash cream. That's quite clever. Now, the next one is also food related, Cornish pasty or cream tea?
Pasty.
Yes. Oh, I do love a pasty.
I love pasties.
And your favourite Cornwall place?
Oh, I don't know.
That's as tough as countryside or coastline.
Yeah, is that
is there somewhere that you go back to quite frequently?
I go to Cardinham Woods in Bodmin a lot.
Ah, okay.
It's nice because it's like an hour's drive from where I am. So whenever I'm traveling up country, which is like anywhere outside of Cornwall, I always stop there to walk the dogs before we hit the road. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Now, top three things about owning spaniels.
They're sass, especially Hen. I've never met like such a sassy spaniel in my life. They're nonstop energy. And just general craziness. And then also how actually they are really calm and people don't realize how calm they are. I mean, I've got three of them sat, well, lying next to me right now asleep. So, but guarantee if I took them in the car, they'd be like, yes, we're ready to go.
No, I know quite a few spaniels, and I am always quite surprised actually by the fact that if you sit down, they will sit down and just chill, but you twitch and then that's it. What, are we going out? Are we going out? Come on, let's
go. Yeah, definitely. And like first thing in the morning, they all just bundle me. Like, we're ready, we're ready, come on, come on.
I'm, for me, knowing spaniels, it's their absolute zest for life. Everything's amazing.
Yes, definitely.
Like air, grass, leaf. Everything is just like the best thing that's ever happened to them.
Yeah, although last night for Woody, it was a dismembered seagull corpse.
Oh, lovely.
And I was on my paddleboard, so I couldn't get to him quick enough. At least it wasn't cooked bones.
Oh, God. Oh, they do some interesting things, dogs. Now, if you could say what your spirit animal would be, what would it be?
I don't know a specific animal, but anyone that's up for a spontaneous adventure, really.
Okay, so a curious.
To be honest, I think that's what I like spaniels so exactly. much.
You've just described a spaniel. Oh, no, Hattie, that's been absolutely, oh, excuse me, I thought I'd locked all those down. That's been absolutely awesome. I've had such fun speaking with you and hopefully giving people a little bit more information on how they can be an eco-friendly dog owner. Where can people find you if they want to learn a little bit more about you and what you do?
Thank you for having me. It's been great. My website is thecornishdog.uk and I'm at thecornishdog on social media.
Awesome. And I'll put those in the show notes that, so people can click through easily. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to making this live. And we'll speak to you shortly. Has Hattie inspired you to do your own dog walk and pick up? If she has, drop me an email to kerry@furandfables.com. I'd love to know how you got on. But in the meantime, I'll leave you to your day. Take care.